In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. Saint Aloysius, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We are on part three of Louisa and the Mediatrix of All Divine Life. And we are on page 2, two paragraphs on the bottom, volume 35, 3-6, 1938, My Good Daughter Courage. These are the words of Pope Benedict when he became Pope. When John Paul II became Pope, he said, do not be afraid. And when Benedict was Pope, became Pope, he says, you know, be courageous. You must have courage. The reason for this is we're going into a new era, as Our Lady of Revelation has told Bruno in 1947, 40 days after Louisa died. Our Lady said to Bruno, time has now come to an end. And it's not the end of the world. It's a new era that we're entering into. The era of sanctification. And this is why everything's happening in the world today. This is why there's difficulties all over the place, because even in the church, the Lord is saying, my kingdom is coming on earth as it is in heaven. This is the whole reason for the Book of Heaven. If you listen to Archbishop Beceri, what he said in The Dawn of a Mystery, he said it was, this is Louisa's job. She's the only one in the world, he said, to explain how the kingdom of God is going to come on earth as it is in heaven. And, you know, he went through the investigation of Louisa, the diocese went through for 11 years. And at the end, they said, we believe Louisa should be canonized. And they presented their study to the Vatican, and the Vatican, it's in the Vatican now, and the Vatican, you know, has given permission for Louisa's body to be moved from the side of the church, which was placed there in 1963 on the Feast of St. Thomas, July 3rd, and now here on her birthday, April 23rd, 2019, they bring her body to the front of the church. How glorious is this? And a lot of people are nervous. A lot of people are afraid. You hear of all these people, you know, terrified, you know, this is going to happen and that's going to happen. And they're all nervous. You may, you know, find a cave and get into it, you know. Make sure it's packed with beans and rice. Don't want to light a match in that cave if you're having beans and rice, just so that you know. It's everybody's nervous. Everybody's afraid. Everybody's trying to figure out what to do, you know. And Jesus tells Louisa there will be a chastisement. Absolutely. There has to be. He says he has to purify the world in order to, for the world to receive this great gift. We're not ready for it yet. And in all situations, you know, you, when you get operated on, you go into a room that's pure. You're operated in a room that's sterile. There's no disease. There's no bacteria. There's no germs in that room. And what's coming is this. Jesus says he's going to give the people who have the Book of Heaven a share in divinity. And this is what the priest prays every day at Holy Mass. And a lot of people get nervous. I've heard people say, I don't want to read the divine will. It makes me afraid. Well, I don't see any fear in these writings. All I see is the love of God. And when you start praying the rounds, it's, I love you, I praise you, I thank you, I bless you, I adore you, I worship you, with the love and the adoration and the praise and the glory of Jesus. It's gazing, Jesus gazing in your gazing, Jesus breathing in your breathing, Jesus beating in your heart beating. It's beautiful. It's heaven. And when you learn to pray the rounds, you are filled with peace, joy, and happiness. This is the beauty of this gift. And yet, our human nature is to be afraid of what we don't know. And so what does Jesus say? My good daughter. See, and every word that Jesus says is important, he says. Every word is filled with, is a divine life, filled with infinite treasure. Remember when they said, my good teacher. And Jesus says, no one's good but God. He's looking at the person going, do you understand what you're saying? Are you recognizing me as your Lord? No one's good but God. And here he says, my good daughter, Louisa. He wants us to understand that what he gave to Louisa was a share in divinity, which, again, the priest prays every day at Holy Mass, may we share in the divinity of Christ. There is one person who possesses it, one person born of original sin. The Blessed Mother possesses it as the Mother of God, Theotokos. Jesus possesses it as the Son of God. But the first human, Jesus tells us in the Book of Heaven, is Louisa. So he says, my good daughter, courage. The oppressions, the melancholies, the thoughts of the past have no reason to exist for the one who lives in my most holy divine will. Do you see what Jesus is saying? Once you make this commitment to live in the divine will, once you say, I want this, and you want it with your whole heart, mind, and soul, there's not one moment that goes by where you're not focused on the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. He says, if you are living in the divine will, he says, the oppressions, the melancholies, and the thoughts of the past, the worry, the fear, the anxiety, the complaints, the guilt of the past, have no reason to exist. If you're living in the divine will. Now, we want to live in the divine will, and I've heard many people say that they're living in the divine will. We're in the divine will, but as soon as we're worried, we're out of the divine will. As soon as we're fearful, we're out of the divine will. As soon as we're complaining, we're out of the divine will. As soon as we're negative, we're out of the divine will. As soon as we sin, we're out of the divine will. And we want to get back into that. And that's why we say to the Lord, I'm really sorry, Lord. I'm sorry. I do not want to live like this. I want to live in your holy divine will. I want to possess your will, Lord, not my human misery any longer. And again, we have to understand, what is our human will? If we're honest, our human will is what we say when we go to confession. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. And I am sorry. I don't want to live like this. So Jesus is saying to Louisa, you have to be courageous, Louisa. You're living in my divine will. You're the one who lives in my divine will at this time. There will be others to come. The others who study the Book of Heaven as you studied it, Louisa. Others who learn how to live in the divine will, as you learned, Louisa. Now, you have to remember, how did Louisa do this? She stayed in bed for 64 years without eating, drinking, or sleeping, focusing on the Book of Heaven. So, those people that have been reading it for 10 years, you know, that's a good start. I remember this one person called me from California, and they said, send me all the volumes. I want all the volumes. I said, how do you know about Louisa? I just heard about her yesterday. I want all the volumes. And then the person said, I want to teach this. And I went, well, why don't you spend a good 10 to 15 years, maybe 20, studying this? Because this is so amazing. It is so beautiful that every day it's more beautiful. Every day it's more fantastic. Every day, you're filled with this divine zeal to live this life. You know, and I said, you know, it's the priests that are supposed to teach this. Jesus says, this is the first bread. And Father Bucci always would say to us, it's as foolish for a layperson to teach the divine will as a layperson standing at the altar and saying, this is my body. This is my blood. and I absolve you of all your sins. Sit in the confessional, a layperson sitting in the confessional and saying, I absolve you of all your sins in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. See, this is the first bread. The priest is in charge of the second bread, the supersubstantial bread of the Holy Eucharist, and Jesus says it's the priests who are going to give this bread to the lay people. Read the three appeals. It's very clear. Jesus doesn't trick you. You know, the writings are very simple. They're for children. What Jesus says, he means. He doesn't try to trick you. You know, some of the our Protestant brethren said Jesus really didn't mean eat my flesh and drink my blood. He really didn't mean that. Well, why would he do this on the last day of his life? I didn't mean it. I'm just leading you on. So some of you might think I mean this. God is not like that. It's the same thing with the divine will. The divine will is very clear. It's simple. People love to complicate what Jesus says. Jesus speaks the truth. And when you read the book of heaven, you're listening to Jesus, and Jesus is speaking to you. He wants you to know this gift. He wants you to live this gift. He wants you to possess this gift. And what is this gift? It is his life, image and likeness. Through holy baptism in the church, we are in God's image. And now, because of this great gift of the divine will, now we're in God's likeness. If we read, if we study, if we put this into practice. So I look at people who read volume 1 through volume 10 and they go, oh, I know the divine will. I don't have to read anything more. Well, you got the first part of to become a divine mirror of Jesus. But that takes a lifetime, 1 through 10. And those that read 1 through 19, they say, well, I can live now in the divine will. I've read this. I've studied this. Well, that's the second part. And again, Father Anibale, that's all he read, and he died. He didn't read 20 through 36. He didn't read all of that. And so he died. He's the first to die living in the divine will. How? Why? Because he read this. He studied it. He understood this. He lived this. This was his gift. And now, since 1996, and really since 2000 for us, we have the 20 through 36, how to receive the divine inheritance of the Father. And when you read this, you begin to understand that it's not just about being good and holy and saintly. That was for the saints. And they were good with a human sanctity. They were good, saintly with a human sanctity. They were holy with a human sanctity, holiness. Jesus says, I want you to share in my divinity. I want you to be in my image and my likeness. That means to do what God does. And that's what I just started with right at the beginning. When you're praying the rounds, and you say, for example, you're outside and you're looking at the sky, and it's the blue, blue sky. As a matter of fact, Father Bucci says, that was the color of Luisa's eyes. That blue in the sky. And what do you say? You say to Jesus, I want you to gaze at my gazing. For you, God, to pray in my praying. For you, Jesus, to praise in my praising. I want to praise with your praise. I want to adore with your adoration. I want to give the Father all the glory. I want to allow you, God, to reign in me to praise the Father in the name of every human being, past, present, and future. We were not taught that way by the saints. Jesus taught Luisa how to do this. Luisa is now teaching us how to do this. We have the prayers of the saints. They're beautiful. They're holy. They're saintly. The prayers of St. Francis, the prayers of St. Gertrude, the prayers of St. Ignatius. They're wonderful. Jesus says, this is how I prayed, praying the rounds. This is how my mother prayed, praying the rounds. What happens is you become free. The wonderful thing about this gift of the divine will is you become, you have the freedom of the sons and daughters of God. You have the freedom of the sons and daughters of God. So as you enter into this gift, as you read, as you study, as you put this into practice, as you open yourself to God, breathe, Jesus, breathe in my breathing, beat in my heart beating, gaze in my gazing, listen in my listening, walk in my walking. I want you to be the Lord of my life. I want to be your skin, as you said to Louisa. Louisa, be my skin. Let me reign on earth. This intimacy is what God is looking for. Lord, I want you to be the Lord of my life. So this freedom of the sons and daughters of God is, it's up to you how much you want this. It's true. You want 30, 60, or 100-fold? What do you want? Jesus says, I will give you as much as you want. So he looks at us and he says, you know, are you reading? Like, for example, have you been reading the calendar? Have you been focused on the calendar? The calendar is so magnificent. Every day, Jesus is teaching us something new and more beautiful. And at the end of the year, we have read 35 out of the 36 volumes. Volume 1 did not have any dates. So Jesus is looking at us and he's saying, you know, in the meantime, when you have a couple readings on a day, and that happens every now and then, read volume 1. And by the end of the year, you have read all 36 volumes. And it's 10 pages, you know, I mean, average, I'd say, is maybe 8 pages a day. But at the end of the year, you have read everything. And then what happens is, your relationship with Jesus, your relationship with Mary, is deeper than ever before. Your relationship to the Father and the Holy Spirit is more than ever before. You are learning things that Jesus has been waiting to teach all of mankind from the beginning of time. He said, if Adam didn't sin, I would have taught him the book of heaven. And he would have taught this to his children. But because Adam sinned, Jesus had to come to earth. Our Blessed Mother had to come to earth. Why? The new Adam and the new Eve, to redeem mankind. And the way they redeemed mankind is through the crucifixion. Jesus crucified Mary at the foot of the cross. Crucified interiorly. And then the resurrection. And now Jesus says, I want you to possess my resurrection, not to possess it after you die. I want you to begin to live this abundant life. That's why Our Lady said, 40 days after Louisa died, Our Lady of Revelation said, hey, time has now come to an end. We're going to enter into a new era. Look what Our Lady of America said. I mean, if you read what she says, hang on to your hats. Look what Jesus said to St. Faustina. He says, the final devotion I give into my church before I return is divine mercy. And that's what our Holy Father John Paul II gave us in the year 2000, divine mercy. And if we're really praying this, we're getting ready to not just to say to Jesus, I trust you, but I love you and I praise you and I thank you and I have total confidence in you. You are my Lord, you're my Savior, you're my Master, you're my King. And we spend time every day in front of the Blessed Sacrament, adoring God and loving God and praising God and thanking God and glorifying God. This is what God is waiting for. He's waiting for his children to have this freedom of sons and daughters of God. So what you read, I may never read. What you see, I may never see. If your docility is there, if your desire to listen to Jesus, and you take what Jesus says to Louisa, and you absorb it, and you study it, you will see things that I can't see. I was in art classes, and it always amazed me when we would get an assignment, and everyone could do what they wanted, you know, with the objective. This is what you're called to do. Go out and do it. Come back with it. Come back with something. And I remember one of the projects we had was to look into a mirror and draw what you see. And it was hilarious. It was hilarious. No, we would look at each other. Yeah, I don't know who that is. And then there were some that were so perfect. You could say that's almost a photograph of you. You know, they had this perfection in art, in drawing. And that's the same thing with the divine will. As you study the divine will, as you put this into practice, as you learn, you develop this talent of hearing Jesus. He says, I will stand right beside you. I will touch your mind so that you will understand this. And I will touch your heart so that you will love it. That's what's happening with the souls and the divine will. It's a new beginning. Spiritually. So Jesus is looking at us and he says very, very clearly, don't look at the past. You know, when you make a good confession, focus on Jesus. It's a very simple thing. Jesus is the light. Picture a bright light shining on you. Okay, and the devil and you know your shadow, know your past, know what you've done. And Jesus has forgiven and forgotten your sins if you make a good confession. And what the devil does, what we do when we're filled with pride, we turn around from Jesus and go, look what I've done. Look at this, look at this, look at this. And we're not even looking at Jesus anymore. And that's what Jesus is saying. Focus on me. I'm your Lord. I'm your Savior. I'm your Master. I'm your King. Turn around. Look at me. And it doesn't mean that we ignore our sin. Our guilt turns to sorrow, a deeper sorrow. So when you're in front of the Blessed Sacrament and you hear of things around you, you say to the Lord, I am so sorry for what I have done and what they have done. And Lord, have mercy on us. Jesus, forgive us. You stand in the breach. This is what Jesus shows Louisa. As Moses stood in the breach for the Israelites, we stand in the breach for all of mankind, past, present, and future. That's what Louisa did. Louisa said, Jesus, I will die a death for each person. I will die for each person so that they can possess this gift. Think of that heroic life that she lived. And so Jesus is saying, this is yours if you want it. He says, these are notes. This is the thoughts of the past, the oppressions, the melancholies. He says, these are the notes that clash with my divine notes of joy, of peace, of love, and form feeble sounds that sound awful to our divine ears. You see what Jesus is saying? I want you to enter into this gift to be filled with peace, joy, and happiness. We're not afraid of what's coming. We're filled with courage. We know God is in charge. We know that He has got great things in store for those who love Him. And so we want to give back to God divine joy. Why? Well, Jesus says that, I give you my joy, my divine joy. I want you to have my joy so that your joy will be complete. It's only complete in God. Everything we have is only complete in God. I want to give you my peace. You remember He says, I give you my peace. Not as the world does, but as God does. Divine peace, divine love, divine mercy, divine strength, divine goodness. The Lord has got great, great plans for us. And He's. How do I know this? Because He's given us the book of heaven. It's a secret. It's hidden. Just like the Eucharist. In every Catholic church, every Catholic knows when that votive lamp is on near the tabernacle, Jesus is present. People walk in without recognizing Jesus. People walk out without recognizing Jesus. They might even go to communion without recognizing Jesus. That's got to end. We have to, when we go to church, when we genuflect, we say to Jesus, you're my Lord, you're my Master, you're my King, you're my Savior, you're my God, you're my all. I am totally yours. I don't belong to me anymore. Scripture says that. We've been bought by the blood of Jesus. Lord, then when we receive Him in Holy Communion, we go back to our seat, and for 15 minutes, the host, Jesus, is we're in communion with Jesus. For 15 minutes until the host dissolves. And what are we doing? We're adoring Him and loving Him and praising Him and thanking Him and blessing Him. You receive communion and you get the final blessing and the Mass is over. Why? The church does not want to interfere with your communion with Jesus. But now is the time to be on your knees in communion with God. This is a great secret. Hardly any Catholics know about it. This is why we, as little children of the Holy Divine Will, spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament. And if you don't have a parish, go to your internet. You know, type in live adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. And watch what comes up. There's a beautiful image of the monstrance in Poland. And you know what's funny? The people that go there, you sit behind them. I mean, the camera's behind them. And they stare at Jesus. They're not reading. You don't go to your grandmother's and, you know, hi, where I'm here, and sit down and read a book for an hour and then get up and go, see you later, and leave. I mean, that's rude. We've got to stop being rude to Jesus. They look at Jesus, and you know they're praying. They're focused on Jesus. Jesus is looking at them, and they are looking at Jesus. Do you see what's happening is Jesus, through this great gift of the divine will, you're falling more in love with our Eucharistic Lord. You're falling more in love with our Blessed Mother. You want to wear the scapular. You want to pray the rosary in the divine will. Because Jesus tells us we're going to be clothed in divinity. Our Lady says this is the clothing of heaven. This little scapular that you wear is the clothing of heaven. Don't leave home without it, as that commercial would say. Don't walk outside without the clothing of heaven. There's a lot of spirits out there. We are linked to the Holy Spirit. But there's a lot of other spirits out there that want to destroy us because they hate God. Wear your scapular. Pray your rosary. Attend First Saturday. Those are the three things that the Blessed Mother has asked. And what happens? You begin to sing joy and peace and love that makes the divine ears of God happy. Why? You're echoing Him. God is filled with peace, joy, and happiness. That's heaven. The sour notes are like bitter drops, little drops that thrown into our divine sea try to embitter the divine sea. While by living in our most holy divine will, we make the creature the owner of our divine seas, of our divine joys, of our divine happiness. And if necessary, we, Triune God, arm that soul with our divine power. Do you see what Jesus is doing? He wants us to begin to live heaven. Everybody is complaining and negative and upset. Jesus says, if you're worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative and sinning, basically, you are anticipating hell. That's what he tells Louisa. If you're peaceful, joyful, and happy, you are anticipating heaven. As you read, as you study, as you put this into practice, Jesus is speaking to you. And he speaks to his little child. A father doesn't say to his little child, you know, something from a different language. A father doesn't say to his little child something that the child can't understand. The book of heaven is very simple. Listen to what Jesus says. It's very simple. Read it. Study it. Put it into practice. You know, don't think that Jesus is saying something complicated. What he is saying is exact. And listen to what he's saying here. He's saying, don't be oppressed anymore. Don't be worried. Don't be fearful. Don't be anxious. Don't be complaining. Don't be negative. I want you to be peaceful, full of peace, joyful, full of joy. I want you to be happy. Why? I've got great things that I'm sharing with you. This is not complicated. He says, come into my arms. Come into my Father's arms. Come into the Blessed Mother's arms. Let us hold you. Let us care for you. Let us nurture you. It's not difficult. See, the beauty of this gift is there's no other books on earth where Jesus and Mary are speaking directly to you. And Jesus, the Word of God, knows that these words are going to transmute you. They're going to enter into you and change you completely. And the more that you read, the more that you study, the more that you put this into practice, the happier you're going to be. God has got great plans. Don't get in His way. Don't cloud His plans or confuse His plans with your misunderstanding of what Jesus is saying. It's very clear what He's saying. Be peaceful. Be joyful. Be happy. This is not complicated. It's for children. Read it. Learn the language of heaven. Read it. Listen to Jesus. Listen to Mary. You know, one of the things that's so beautiful is the Virgin Mary and the Kingdom of the Divine Will. You know, some people just read it during May. And that's sad. It's Our Lady speaking to us. And as she speaks to us every day, you begin to hear her voice more clearly. When you read the Book of Heaven, you begin to hear Jesus' voice more clearly. He's a loving Father who doesn't want to lose us. He wants us to be with Him eternally in heaven. He wants to share with us His divinity. He said the other day in Sacred Scripture, you must be perfected as your Heavenly Father is perfect. That's based on love. You can be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect by loving. Getting rid of the worry, the fear, the anxiety, the complaints, the negativity, and the sin. God's got this planned. He's going to have His way. And He says basically, everyone who says fiat, which means yes, He says, will be able to possess this gift. When I read the volumes, they're filled with promises. They're filled with truths. Each page is filled to the brim. And Jesus says, do you want this? And it's yes, fiat, fiat, fiat. It's always yes, God. And if you don't understand it, that can happen. You say to Jesus, I want what you want. Please help me understand this. And then when you understand it, you're going to go, that was simple. It wasn't complicated at all. See, we complicate things. Jesus loves us so much. So this is what He says. He says, we will arm our child with our divine power so that everyone may be and nothing may do any harm, since nothing has power against our holy divine will. So here Jesus is saying, we're going to be receiving divine power. Nothing can destroy this. Nothing can get in the way. It's to say fiat. Let it be done as you say. That's what Our Lady said. Remember when the angel came? The angel said, you'll be the mother of God. She says, how can this be? I want to please God in all things, but I do not know man. How can this happen? She didn't say, I don't believe it. She says, I want to know how this will happen so I can work at it, so I can accomplish. And the angel said, it'll be through the power of the Holy Spirit. She says, let it be done to me as you say. That's what God is looking for as you read. Let it be done to me as you say. Yes, Lord, I want this. Yes, Lord, let it happen to me. Again, our Lord loves us tremendously. How do I know? Because he said, I've saved the best for last, like at Cana. I've saved the best for last. He didn't give this to the saints. How do we know he didn't give it to the saints? Because they did not have Luisa Picaretta. We have Luisa. He's given her to us. And with Luisa is the Book of Heaven. With Luisa is the 36 volumes. Jesus says this is going to transform the face of the earth. It will be like a new sun, Jesus says, for my church. And at that point, he says, everyone will become Catholic. The Jews, the Buddhists, the Hindus, the Muslims, the Protestants, the atheists will all say, I want what Luisa Picaretta has. I want to be a baptized Catholic. And that's the beginning of this life, image, and likeness. Because then they will begin to read the Book of Heaven and receive the likeness of God. Do you see what God's going to do? God wins. The devil's been given the 100 years. Remember Pope Leo XIII? The devil's been given that 100 years. It's over. The 100 years is over. He had his time. Now God's going to have his time. But God's going to have a day will be like 1,000 years. God's going to win. God has won. He's victorious. But I remember Our Lady says, in the end, my Immaculate Heart will triumph. What does that mean? That means her children will be like her son, Jesus. Image and likeness. The Eucharist, the grain of Jesus. He explains this to St. Faustina. He says, St. Faustina, I want you to become a living host. And then Jesus says to Luisa, this is how you become a living host. So as you read the volumes, the Eucharistic reign of Jesus is Jesus is going to reign in us. And we begin now by saying what a prevenient act in the morning and our actual acts throughout the day. Jesus, gaze in my gazing, listen in my listening, breathe in my breathing, beat in my heart beating. I want you to be one with me. I want to be one with you. I want you to possess me. I want to possess you. Mutual possession. That's what the divine will is. So God is waiting for us to do this. He's waiting for us to begin this. Nothing. There is no power against the most holy divine will of God. This is what God wants for his children. Enter into the arms of God. We have one talk. It's on being in the arms of Jesus. If you haven't listened to it, read it, listen to it. It's entering into the life of Jesus. Enter into his arms. Let him hold you. God doesn't want to be far from us. But he will not interfere with our freedom. So Jesus says this, and even more, our divine will has the power to flatten and to crush anything like dust under the empire of an impetuous wind. This is what's coming. God is going to have his way with us. Anything in our way, you know, he's going to crush it. He's going to get rid of it. Let's look at our lives. Is there anything in our life that is in the way of living in the divine will? And if we're honest, There's our worry, our fear, our anxiety, our complaints, our negativity, and our sin. And Jesus says, I will crush that. Hand it to me. I will get rid of it. Trust me. Jesus, I trust in you. God is going to take care of every situation. He's our Lord. He's our Master. He's our Savior. He's our King. He's our God. He's our all. This book of heaven is for children. It's not complicated. This book of heaven has been written for you and for me. God wants us to have the freedom of the sons and daughters of God. Don't be oppressed by anything. Don't be worried about everything. And even in your past life, if you've gone to confession, if you made a good confession, it's gone. God forgives you. It's forgotten. If you've done the Divine Mercy Chaplet, the novena from Good Friday to Divine Mercy Sunday, it's as if you were newly baptized. Even the temporal punishment due to sin is gone. If you haven't done it, make sure you get your family ready. Get your family ready this year. Tell them all your sins will be forgiven. And they're gone. Why did John Paul II give us this? I mean, it was a real blessing, you know, the Divine Mercy. Because he knows that this is the final devotion given to the church before Jesus returns. It's a new beginning for mankind. So what is God giving us? He's given us the book of heaven. What does Jesus call the book of heaven? He calls it the testament of love. Because that's what the divine will is. It's the love of God reigning in us. He says it's the testament of the kingdom. He says it's the gospel of the kingdom. Now those are the words of Jesus. And he chose those words very, very, because he knows what this is all about. This is specific. He knows that in Matthew 24, it says very clearly, until the gospel of the kingdom is proclaimed to all the world. And so what is he doing? I mean, is it a mistake? Or is Jesus really telling us something that he wants us to know? This is just the beginning of a new era. It's just the beginning of a new era where everyone will be baptized. Catholics. And what does that mean? That means they're now in God's image. And everyone is going to be reading the book of heaven. What does that mean? That we're going to be in God's likeness. Do you see what God's doing? He says to us, be courageous. A new beginning for mankind has already begun. And we have Luisa. This is the thing that's so important. We have Luisa Picaretta. The saints didn't. Father Bucci says this. Father Bucci says, St. Francis was for his era. St. Ignatius was for his era. He says, Luisa is for our era. Can you believe this? Luisa is for us. This time that Jesus is giving to us is, he's expecting more from us than all the saints combined. He's expecting more from us. It's not just to be good and holy and saintly. That's what we've learned for the last 2,000 years. Now Jesus is saying, I want you to share in my divinity. How can this be? How do we do this? How can that happen? Jesus says, read. And if you can't read, somebody said to me, see, people always have a question. You mean the blind people can't have this? Oh, God. You know, there's many ways of reading. Listening is reading. Read this. Study this. Put this into practice. Great things are right around the corner. God is expecting us to be doing this. He didn't expect the saints to do this. He is expecting us to do this. you will fall deeper in love with the Blessed Mother. You'll fall deeper in love with Jesus. You will want to spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament every day, looking at Jesus, adoring Jesus, praising Jesus with His adoration and His praise and His glory. That's what God's got planned. It's His life. That's what the divine will is all about. Jesus, the life of Jesus, the life of Mary, through this little newborn, Luisa Picaretta. How glorious is this? Enjoy the freedom of the sons and daughters of God. Begin to live the life that Luisa lived, always in the arms of Jesus. This is where we want to be. Arms of the Father. So we'll end there. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.